All right. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll get a couple of foundation scriptures. We've been talking about covenants and stuff. So why, some people may ask, why a covenant? Why is that such a thing? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says that we should... Wait a minute. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So there's one reason for covenants right there. Once we get born again, we're no longer strangers from the covenants of promise. We may not know about them, but at least that world has been opened up to us. You know, there's a lot of promises in the Bible that people just don't, they just don't partake in because, number one, they haven't read it for themselves. Number two, they've been taught that this isn't for them. You know, if you don't believe in healing, don't worry about it. You're not going to receive it. You know, there's people that don't believe in finances. Well, don't worry about it. Just go ahead and work your fingers to the bone. You know, there are supernatural things that God has set in motion to help us. And these covenants that he's made are here to help us. And you'll see the same way Abraham had some questions. And God made a covenant with him, and that became an anchor for his soul. When you understand these covenants, when you understand what's going on, that gives you an anchor for your soul too. And you'll understand more about how these blessings come your way and why. You know, the number one thing you need to know about the covenant that you're in, you qualify for all the good things of God because of what somebody else did. Amen. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, and hold your finger in these verses because we're going to bounce back and forth here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And this is actually a prayer. And the Holy Spirit inspired prayer that the Holy Spirit gave to Paul and Paul gave to the church. Not just the Ephesians, he gave to the church, and that's us. It says, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love," that word love there is actually agape hased, and that's a covenant love. That's a no matter what kind of love. It's hard for us to get our minds wrapped around. We won't get our minds wrapped around it. We're going to get it in our heart. "That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Holy Spirit was trying to get through to Paul how much God loves you. And he wants the church to know how much he loves us. See, this agape has said knowledge. It passes knowledge. We're not going to get our minds wrapped around it. Look over to verse 19 again. It says, to know the love of God, or to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. See, it's already above us. It already outran our thinker. We're not gonna get it up here. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In here is where we're going to understand the love of God. And it's not a feeling. You know, you can feel like a rat and still know that you're loved. You can make a terrible mistake and still know inside that you're loved. Your mind might be racing 500 miles an hour, but your heart can be at rest because you know that God loves you. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. See, it's too rich for our minds, so we got to get it in our hearts. We got to get it into the very core of our being. Now, for Jesus to abide in us in fullness, we must be rooted and grounded in this agape, chesed love. Now here's a crossroads. And people run into this all the time. And preachers preach it all the time. And they need to stop. They'll tell people, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your body. And then you'll go and you'll try to do that, and you'll try real hard, and you'll fail, because the devil will remind you how you missed it. It's, if you really loved God with all your heart, you would have went down and bought groceries for them poor people down the street. Yeah, well, I forgot to do that. If you really loved God with all your heart, you'd be out in the mission field. Yeah, well, I'm still here in Fort Davis. Why? Because it's the law. Remember, the cross made all the difference. After the cross, everything changed. The Bible tells us now, after the cross, to believe the love that God has for us. That's how the fullness of God is going to come into us. That's how we're going to come to understand in our hearts the agape chesed. That's the only way we're going to get it, is to believe the love that God has for us. And if we're working on our own efforts, it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a grind. You know, it's sad to say, but it's the truth. Some of the meanest people I've ever ran into go to church every Sunday. And they're grinding it out. They're trying as hard as they can to not make a mistake. They're trying as hard as they can to do this right. They're trying as hard as they can to do that right. They're trying as hard as they can to be this example of what they think they're supposed to be. Instead of just getting over here on the side of the cross they're supposed to be on and receive the love of God, receive his gift of righteousness, receive the abundance of grace, and then that'll make all this other stuff a whole lot easier. You know, when you're over here receiving from God, you're going to be able to love people that maybe normally you wouldn't even talk to. And because you received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will go out and do right things. But where people get frustrated is they go out and do right things so that they can be righteous before God. You know how miserable that life is? We have chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter after book in the Bible of people trying to live that way. They tried to keep the law, and they couldn't do it. So they tore the law down to a low degree where they thought they could keep it. And then Jesus got here and raised the bar back up on them and showed them how they failed. And then Jesus fulfilled the law because he's the only one that could. He's the only one that could walk through this life without ever making a mistake. And then he got on the cross and he set us free from that. Thank God. And then we get groups of Christians that try to pick up that thing and try to keep it. There's law keepers running around all over the place. Everyone, they finally don't even mess with me anymore. But every once in a while, I'll ask them, I said, well, you're into keeping the law? I said, yeah. So what happens if you make a mistake and you sin? Because the Bible tells us you have to take a sacrifice to the high priest. And he has to put that on the altar. So where is your high priest and where is your altar? See, it's such a distraction, and people don't understand their folly in this. Some people say, yes, you are saved by grace, but then to keep things in balance, you need to keep these rules. No! Jesus called that lukewarm mixture. He called it lukewarm. And it won't do. You get all the way under grace, you're not going to be interested in breaking the law. You're not going to be interested in doing that. When you're focused on the love of God, how much He loves you, and you're abiding in Him, and you're staying as close to Him as you can, and trying as hard as you can to just have a good fellowship with Him. That doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes, but I would bet that you're probably not going to be sleeping with your neighbor's wife. You're probably not going to be killing anybody. You're probably not going to be trying to steal their land or their cows or anything like that. But if you're trying to not do those things in order to be righteous before God, you're going to fail. Did you know that there's not one man recorded in the Bible that has ever been able to keep the law other than Jesus? There's not one man listed in there that could ever keep the law. You know how I know? Because every single man that was under the law had to have a sacrifice, had to have shedding of blood. And if he kept the law perfectly, there would be no need for a shedding of blood. Amen. Now, look over to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. See, his name's still Abram. He hadn't changed his name yet. In a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars that thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said, Take me a heifer. And he started naming out the animals that he needed for the sacrifice and how to do this covenant. So he gave Abram an anchor for his soul. Abram had some questions. He had some legitimate questions, wouldn't you say? God promised him a child. And it went a little while, and he had no child. And in fact, he was getting some age on him, and so was his wife. You know, there hadn't been nothing happening. So he needed something. He needed something to get this thing settled down. And then God told him that. And Abram believed God. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. How about that? That's how we get our righteousness. We believe God. We believe what Jesus did for us. So God cut a covenant with Abraham so that he could know that what God said he would do. See, you don't really hear much covenant talk in America. The Indians, they cut covenant. The mafia, they have covenants. But for the most part, a lot of the people, just common people, just they don't really talk much about covenant, although they deal with it all the time, and they don't understand it. You know, you can go in the Middle Eastern countries and start talking about covenant. They know. They know about covenant. They know about blood covenant. But somehow that's been lost to us. The closest thing that we have to a blood covenant is a marriage, and when it's done properly, the young man leaves his mother and father, and clings to his wife, and there's blood, and they've made a covenant. They've made a blood covenant. That is a covenant, not a contract, not a marriage contract. Whenever I do a wedding, I really spend a lot of time telling people this is not a contract, this is a covenant. This is a covenant. Contracts, in the eyes of America, are made to be broken. It's almost crazy the amount of people that will not honor a contract. But if they understood something about covenant, they'd change their mind about those contracts. They'd start saying, okay, I got to keep my word on this. This is what I said. So I got to do that. Now, many of those in Ephesians, you know, we talked about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, there are strangers from the covenants of promise. They believe in God, but they're without Him when they need Him most. See, if you don't ever get taught that God is still in the healing business, guess what's going to happen when you get sick? He's maybe begging God for help or hoping God will do something. But you're not going to really have much to really sink your faith into. You might think you have to just be that way until you get to heaven. If you really need finances and you haven't been taught that God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and that in fact it was by His grace that you've been made rich. If you haven't been taught that, if you've been told that, and you haven't looked at it and studied it, when the financial crisis hits, guess what? You're going to have a really hard time trying to figure out how you're going to get out of that mess. But see, these are covenant, there are promises in our covenant that God gave us. And Jesus came back to life to be the testator of this will. That means there's somebody there to make sure that what He said happens in your life. But what you don't know will hurt you. See, this is why it's important for everybody to just read the Bible for themselves and read it like a novel. Read it all and just determine in your mind and in your heart that you're going to believe what you see in that Bible. Unfortunately, a lot of people only want to read what they believe. So there'll be certain chapters that they skip. You know, they just, you know, they don't want to mess with the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues. They don't want to talk about that. Maybe they don't believe in healing, so they don't read anything about the healing in there. Maybe they don't want to believe in miracles, so they don't read anything about miracles in there. See, that they separated themselves from the covenants of promise. Or maybe they believed the doctrines of men more than what they did the Bible. See, this is why it's so important to know what your Bible says for yourself. Don't let some preacher tell you whether or not it's okay for you to be healed. And certainly don't let some preacher tell you whether it's okay for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not. Don't let anybody tell you whether you can receive a miracle or not. See, God said you can. And in fact, as far as He's concerned, it's yes. It's yours. He's already set that table up for you. You just have to go up there and get it. But false teachings sometimes keep people sorted off from the covenants of promise, and that's not a good thing. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. When God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. When unto God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Did you notice that? The heirs of promise. That's the born again believers. That's us. We're heirs to the promises of God. But God wanted the heirs of promise to know, not just believe in God, but to know Him. See, even the devil, he believes God. The devil knows there's a God. But God wants us to know him. See, this was the whole thing about God's relationship with Adam. When he created him in the garden, he wanted to have this fellowship with him, this one-on-one fellowship with Adam. And evidently, they walked together in the garden. And they talked back and forth. That was God's will for man, is to have this personal, one-on-one fellowship with him. And then Adam got kicked out of the garden, and that broke his fellowship. And the only way that God could restore that fellowship is with a covenant, a blood covenant. And that blood had to be the son, had to be from his son. Because his son was the only one that never made a mistake. See, because of what Adam did, we all fell into sin. All of us. But because of what Jesus did, we all fell into righteousness. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word, and we thank you for your covenant. Father, we thank you for teaching us about your covenants. We thank you for teaching us how to partake in your promises that you've given us. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to help us understand more about your agape hesed. Father, we want to know the love of God in our heart. Even though we may not be able to understand it in our minds, we can know it in our hearts. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.